Welcome to DMOU, Destination Marketing Organization University, the DMO Sectors Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Geist. DMOU is where you hear the best and the brightest in the destination marketing space, sharing innovative and compelling stories to inspire you to take your destination and organization to the next level. The format for our conversations on DMOU is elegantly simple. It's three questions and a bonus round. And this episode is sponsored by our friends at Fired Up Culture. There may be no more challenging time to lead than in today's environment. And building a strong, cohesive team is hard. At Fired Up Culture, their tools, coaching, and expertise empower DMO leaders to harness the power of culture to lead their organizations forward. And you can learn more at firedupculture.com and check out all the testimonials from many of your peers. And now it's on to our show. Santiago Corrada officially began his position as president and CEO of Visit Tampa Bay in May of 2013, where he is today responsible for providing oversight of all agency activities, managing day-to-day operations, and assuring a smoothly functioning, efficient organization. He serves as the main spokesperson for the tourism and hospitality industry and coordinates effective marketing and sales strategies, ensuring maximum return on investment. So much so that Visit Tampa Bay has received numerous marketing and PR awards over the past decade, most recently bringing home four HSMAI Adrian Awards. Santiago also received HSMAI's Top 25 Award for Extraordinary Minds in Hospitality Sales and Marketing. He previously served as Chief of Staff for the City of Tampa. In this role, he coordinated and integrated the efforts of more than 50 city departments and divisions. In his tenure with city government, Santiago participated in bidding and hosting events for large meetings and groups, including Super Bowl, the 2012 Republican National Convention, and also served as Convention Center, Tourism, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Administrator, directly overseeing the day-to-day operations of the Tampa Convention Center, the cornerstone of Tampa's convention business. Santiago graduated magna cum laude from the University of Miami with a bachelor's degree in psychology and exceptional student education, as well as a master's in education. Santiago Corrada, welcome to DMOU.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate being on the show.
We've been waiting to get you on, and we were looking for that opportunity, and the opportunity is right here, because this July, the destination marketing and leadership world will descend upon Tampa Bay for the 2024 Annual Convention of Destinations International. Now, DI is known for its position that the boycotting of destinations in response to the actions of politicians and elected leaders inadvertently hurts the very people that boycotting organizations purport to support. So while most weren't surprised that DI would come to Tampa, there were some pretty serious pushback from some women and BIPOC members of the organization. But to emphasize DI's point that bringing conventions and events to locales that might otherwise deserve a boycott can be a force for good, Visit Tampa Bay is preparing ways that our presence and our money will be invested where it will make a difference. What have you got planned that is going to make that statement and get our money where it needs to go?
Well, first and foremost, before I get into some of the great initiatives that DI will launch here in Tampa during their annual meeting, really want to say how much we appreciate DI, its leadership, its board of directors, and taking a stand against the weaponization of travel. Because, you know, Bill, if you come right down to it, you know, most cities, states in the United States of America have grappled with some major issues that have insulted different populations in the United States.
Yeah.
So the fact that DI understands this community, that they've been here before, they understand what we stand for and what we believe in, is really a credit to leadership and taking a stand. So to Don and his entire team, the board of directors, we so appreciate this opportunity to host and really show what this community is all about. So working with our friends at DI, the Tourism Cares Initiative, we're very, very proud to be involved in that initiative, working on a meaningful travel map with DI. And the map really aims to promote meaningful travel experiences and to create positive impact for our local community by connecting visitors, conventions, et cetera, with our local small minority-owned businesses. So we're excited about the opportunities it really presents to engage our industry with our destination in a deeper and more meaningful way, because it is about the economics of travel. And then, you know, getting right down to the distinct identity of Tampa. You know, Tampa Bay is not your typical Florida destination. The DNA of this community, of this city, of this region was built on the diversity of its early inhabitants. So right. To truly understand what sets us apart, you have to experience it for yourself. And here we pride ourselves on everyone being welcome. Our community embraces diversity and inclusion with open arms. And whether you're visiting for the first time or you're a longtime resident, you'll know you're in a very special place when you visit Tampa and this Tampa Bay region. And again, you know, it is making sure that our industry really connects with the community. And I think that's the beauty of what DI is planning. It's making sure that, you know, our locals understand that DI is here for them and isn't about, you know, any political stance or the interpretation of any political stance. You know, early on when we were dealing with some of the reactions to some of the legislation and, you know, some of the politics that were coming out of Florida, we wanted to make sure that, number one, yes, we were still advocating for the destination, but we were educating as well. What did these laws, what did this legislation factually mean, without the editorializing, without the emotion that is sometimes used to describe legislation? So, you know, taking these laws, really dissecting them and really focusing on the meaning and the intent of the law and coming up with this toolkit that meeting planners, conventioneers, and travelers to the destination could actually read and see very succinctly what these laws meant. And then, of course, you know, travel is a personal decision. We know that people will choose to travel or not to travel. But I can tell you, we've been very, very successful with being open and transparent about who we are and how we connect to the broader state of Florida.
Well, and it sounds to me like this is not just a DI initiative, that you've actually been doing some of this stuff with other meetings and conventions that have been coming on over the past couple of years, correct?
Oh my goodness, of course. Yeah, our travel toolkit, our multicultural social inclusion guides, you know, and we'll get into the makeup of our organization and who we represent and how we represent the people of Tampa Hillsborough County. This relational aspect of what we do, we'll get into. But again, it's making sure that everyone knows they are welcome in Tampa Hillsborough County. And what we do speaks louder than the words, right? So there are lots of examples that we'll get into here in a moment to show our commitment to social inclusion. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, the world of inclusion, it is a very, very large universe, right? We can talk obviously about gender and ethnicity and, you know, religious belief. We can get into lifestyle. We can get into generations of people. We can get into people that have obstacles to travel. Yeah, so there's a big old world to social inclusion, and we want to make sure that we're covering as much of that world as possible.
Let's assume I'm on the fence. I'm one of those people who really, really struggles with some of the stuff coming out of Tallahassee. How do you make that work for me?
Well, it's how we've made it work for everyone. You know, Bill, it's not that DI stands alone as groups that have had lots of questions about Florida politics. And I think when you get into this destination and you connect with the very diverse local community, and you know, we're going to make that happen with DI, right? We're going to have you interact with minority-owned businesses, with organizations. You're going to give back, and you're actually going to see the gratitude expressed by these very diverse members of our community, because we've worked hand in glove with this entire community for years and years and years on hosting, you know, whatever group you want to host. And you mentioned some, you know, right at the outset with Republican National Convention and Shriners and, you know, the Divine Nine. You know, we made it a point here some years ago that we wanted to make sure we welcomed every member of the Divine Nine in some way, shape, or form, whether it was a regional gathering, a conclave, an annual meeting, an international meeting. And we're well on our way to having done that. And that comes through the connection that is made through relationships of that visiting group with our locals. So, you know, there's just so many things to do here, Bill. I mean, this is a major metropolitan area that has culture, art, history, cuisine. You know, you can take a cruise, one of the best airports in the entire world. So again, when you get here, it's that connection that you're going to make with our local community that makes the difference, whether it's our mayor, our county administrator, our local elected officials. There is opportunity here for you to make that connection, and you'll remember the visit. I can't tell you, Bill, how many big conventions, large groups are repeaters because they've been here once. They've developed a relationship over decades with us and understand, you know, who we are and what we stand for. So again, you're going to have ample opportunities through all the lead up work that DI is doing, specifically talking about the DI annual meeting with us in preparation for that great event. So we are truly honored, and we are going to do our best to make sure that DI understands they made the right decision and their membership. But again, you know, Bill, travel is a personal decision. And I can tell you that, and I use this all the time, you can visit the most beautiful place on planet Earth, and if you're treated the wrong way, you probably won't go back. And that's not an issue we have faced in Tampa, Florida. You've come to a very beautiful place, but for forever and a day, we've said the secret weapon of Tampa, Florida is its people. And when you come here, that's the one differentiation. I think you're going to find lots of beautiful places all over the world. But again, how you're treated by the people there is a huge part of travel and whether you're going to return to a destination. And there's a reason why we've played repeat hosts, you know, 5 Super Bowls, 5 NCAA Women's Final Fours, you know, you name it. We've played repeat hosts because of the way people have been treated when they've come here at least one time.
Yeah. And that word gratitude of the people that we're going to meet when we're in Tampa Bay, I got to tell you, it was a couple of years ago. It was the first time that DI met in person in the COVID era, where we took that year off, and we were in Baltimore. And I remember hanging out with one of the doormen at the whatever the hotel is that's connected to the convention center. And he almost had tears in his eyes, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Thank you for coming back." He says, "You're the first convention that we've had in over a year." It was one of those moments, you know, to actually interact. And I encourage everybody that, you know, we get so much to do at DI, and we're, you know, busy doing this and busy doing that, is take time to meet the people on the front line, because it is everything for them. And it makes the experience that much richer, I think, for all of us. And so you're dead on gratitude side. So second question, earlier this year, Visit Lauderdale CEO Stacy Ritter joined us here on DMOU and shared how her DMO and her community are working to communicate that they too are a welcoming community, despite some of the initiatives coming out of the governor's office. Just as every destination is different, every CEO's approach is different. And we've talked about this. Share with us how you and your team have retained business and visitation over the past couple of years.
Well, you know, it's about relationship building, and it's about reputation, and it's about being genuine. So, you know, our commitment to inclusion has been intentional, ongoing, and consistent for at least many decades, but at least during my tenure here. And we've done it in a number of ways. You know, talk is great, right? But action, I think, exemplifies way more than talking. And so when we talk about the diverse leadership we've had here, we've prioritized diverse perspectives by doubling the representation of minority board members from 2014 to 2022. So our leadership team, you know, once predominantly either white or Hispanic, now includes members from various backgrounds: white, black, Latino, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific, and, you know, over 73% is represented by gender, by females. So again, you know, diverse leadership at the board level started over a decade ago.
Very cool.
We've had a multicultural advisory committee of our board of directors that ensures inclusivity and is dedicated to assisting our board of directors in understanding and respecting, you know, diverse cultural, racial, ethnic, and economic backgrounds, even generational backgrounds. So we didn't launch a multicultural advisory committee the other day, right? Or we didn't launch it because of some systemic thing that was happening in the country or some action that led to inclusivity or social inclusion. We've been doing it for a very, very long time. And it's this multicultural advisory committee that really directs our action, our ambassador programs. We've implemented ambassador programs that have been focused on the LGBTQ plus community, as well as accessibility, showcasing, you know, our dedication across different communities for inclusivity. And then obviously Tampa Bay success stems from, you know, the rich blend of people and cultures that make us a top destination, you know, from our community beginnings, which was a mix of Black, Spanish, Cuban, German, and Italian populations that came here to shape the unique identity. Our efforts in diversity, equity, and inclusion have sent a powerful message to organizations seeking to have a meeting somewhere where they're going to feel a part of the fabric of the community. And so by embracing, you know, this diversity and fostering collaboration, we've seen a huge amount of investment here. You know, I can go on recent meetings and upcoming meetings. We just had Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Inc.'s 86th Grand Chapter meeting this last summer. In fact, we had the most successful convention summer in our history. We had the Ancient Egyptian Arabic Order Nobles of the Mystic Shrine Imperial Session this past summer. We had the Church of the Nazarene 2023 Youth Convention. And to put it in perspective, we felt like we had the most successful summer of conventions. But this summer, when we look at the groups that we have coming, Florida A&M University's National Alumni Association meeting is here in Tampa. Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Inc.'s 2024 International Conclave with an expected attendance of over 20,000 attendees. National Association of Free Will Baptists meeting here this year. National Minority Community Reinvestments Co-op 2024 National Black Latino Economic Summit. We have Blacks in Government. Next year, 2025, Gamma Phi Delta, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Phi Beta Sigma, North American Telugu, National Minority Community Investment Corporation, 2025 National Black Latino Economic Summit.
Wow.
So we've really, really hosted just about every large group in the country that we can accommodate, right? We have a convention center that, you know, has its limitations as far as size. We have, you know, a hotel inventory that, you know, is about 26,000 rooms in the entire county. So we have to be able to not only accommodate in a convention center or an arena or a theater, but we also have to have the hotel inventory to support the visitation. And we have done very, very well, again, even during this COVID era, but then, you know, again, tied to maybe some political angst by visitors or conventions, meetings, and events, we've done extremely well even during that time. And to date, we've not had a citywide convention leave us because of any political reason. We've done very, very well, again, educating, advocating, accommodating, and making sure that our community is reflective of what we believe and stand for. So we've not had those issues. And again, you know, it has to do with relationships, Bill. You know, our industry is built on relationships. And we like to say we're relational, not transactional.
Yeah.
Yes, the transactions happen, but the relationships have to be developed first. And, you know, it goes back to some of these groups that I just mentioned. Those groups, as you know, and most of my fellow colleagues know, weren't booked in the year for the year. These conventions were booked maybe during COVID, maybe before COVID, maybe during some of these political issues. But once we sign a contract with you, after we've built a relationship with you, from the time we sign that contract to the time we execute that convention, that visit, we are very best friends. We are family, because what we want to avoid is something beyond our control happening and people don't know who you are. Right? They don't know what you stand for, because then they're going to say, you know, why should we come there? Yeah. We don't know the people of Tampa, and maybe they're symbolic of what we believe is happening in the state of Florida. And if you don't know us, that might be a good reason for you not to come or to cancel.
Yep.
And we have not seen that because we've developed that relationship over the space of time. I like to be a hands-on president CEO. If my team thinks that I need to be a part of a fam, or I need to be a part of a pre-promote, or I need to be a part of the initial bid and presentation, and then that group has a connection to me as president CEO, that elevates things to a different height as far as how they know you and whether they know you. And I think that's also critically important.
Yeah, and you showcase that so perfectly in your multicultural guide. I was down, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I can't remember when I was there, but I remember picking up the multicultural guide, and you're all over it. And it just shows that you're walking the walk, right? You're doing it. It's more than talking the talk.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, you know, we're talking about, you know, some of the issues around some groups that may be affected by legislation, but you know, it's about all people, right? So you're connected to every convention. You're connected to every group that comes to town. You're connected even to some of your domestic, international leisure marketing. You're connected to it because you want to have that relationship. I keep saying, you know, you handle things at home, then you can handle things outside of your home, but you got to make sure your home's in order.
So for years in my work with DMO boards, I've encouraged them to seek a seat at every important table in town. And if they're blocked for any reason, then screw it. Create your own table.
Yeah.
I love that you've gone a step further. In our prep call, you said, we don't ask, we set the table.
Yeah.
They're your tables. So tell us how, in a world filled with so many egos, you've made that work.
I think it goes back to credibility. It goes back to reputation. It goes back to a body of work. It goes back to people understanding, again, who you are, what you stand for, what you do, that you know, you do what you say you're going to do. And again, you know, this thing about, you know, begging for a seat at the table, you know, we like to set the table. And oftentimes we're invited without asking to a seat at the table. I know a few years ago we were talking about this evolution of, you know, Convention and Visitors Bureau to DMOs. And then we said, well, maybe we're more than destination marketing organizations, DMO. We should be destination marketing and management organizations. And I have a very good friend in Florida. When we started saying we were a management organization, he said, you know, people don't like to be managed. You know, some people like to be led, right? But nobody likes to be told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And management seems to embody those actions.
And we don't have the authority to manage.
Right, right. So we decided, let's just pivot, right? Let's become a destination marketing and leadership organization.
Yeah.
And that means more than just marketing and sales.
Yeah.
That means being involved at state level issues that affect your industry. That means being engaged at national issues that affect your industry. That means being engaged in local boards, whether it's a county board or a city board or a not-for-profit board. So our team members are encouraged to be a part of the fabric of the broader community. And yes, there might be some loose ties to tourism or no ties at all, but you know, you can certainly make sure that you're engaged. And that's what we've done. We've done things that are a little bit atypical of what you would ask a DLO or a DMO to do. You know, we've done marketing against human trafficking in our community.
Yeah.
We've layered our tourism marketing with economic development marketing in the Make It Tampa Bay campaigns. We were the first in Florida to launch a tourism improvement district or tourism marketing district. We've been engaged with our high schools in developing curriculum and tourism classes that then feed our university system and our community college system. We're involved in raising scholarship dollars to get young people excited about our industry and into our industry, and also dollars for some of those high school teachers that are teaching these programs who we want to encourage young people. So it's, you know, it's this process of really getting engaged. And you know, in our journey, we've approached influence differently. And, you know, instead of demanding the seat, we set our own. We you know, if we want to create a video that lives on our YouTube site that says all are welcome, we invite the mayor. We invite the county commissioners. We invite the city council members. We invite the leaders of our industry. We get it, our chamber involved, our economic development corporation involved. We have them say why you should visit this incredible community. So we've fostered a lot of positive change. And again, whether it's us offering insights to our mayors on economic growth or advocating for the tourism industry, we've been fortunate to have a real opportunity to make a difference and see tangible outcomes through, you know, our advertising and our influence. And again, you know, our guiding principle has been prioritizing relationships over transactions and relationships among all, whether it's, you know, your government, your visitors, your legislators. It means establishing relationships. And that hinges on building and nurturing genuine connections with all of your stakeholders. And it's not just about the deal, right? At the end of the day, it's about cultivating these enduring relationships that drive sustained business growth. And that's what we've seen, you know, last year, I believe it was. And, you know, we had a lot of accolades last year. Time Magazine named us one of the greatest places on earth last year. Yeah. Fortune, the Wall Street Journal, Condé Nast just a few months ago named, you know, Tampa, Florida's It City. But I think, you know, one of the ones that really connected with me, I believe, was in the Wall Street Journal, could have been in Fortune, where they said, you know, the meteoric rise of Tampa can be attributed to two things. One, marketing, advertising, and the second, private investment. And we own that first one, right? I mean, if anyone does the marketing and advertising right. for this city, for this community, for this part of the Bay Area, it's us. And so, you know, great pride in being able to tell a very unique story about a very unique Florida destination. When we were branded over 10 years ago now, we weren't going to brand ourselves around weather or water or palm trees. We wanted to brand ourselves about a very, you know, unique travel experience where there's a lot of history and there's a lot of culture and there are great people. And now obviously the culinary scene with the Michelin guide. So we want to make sure that we brand ourselves as a very genuine destination to visit and not a cookie cutter that could be anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more on the whole DMMO thing. I have said for years, we're trying so hard to save the M because you're right. We are DLOs that we can own. We can own leading our destinations. And frankly, that I think has become the mandate. It makes me itch every time I hear somebody typically new to our industry say heads in beds. And it's like, stop it. Stop saying that because it's a quality of life.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I we have very smart people in Hillsborough County. We have very smart people in the city of Tampa. And, you know, some time ago, they said, you know, if it's good enough for someone to visit because you're telling such a compelling story, it's good enough for them to invest. It's good enough for them to move here and become our neighbors. And so, you know, that forward thinking really launched, you know, the combination for us of tourism with economic development marketing and telling a really compelling story about why this is a very special place. And so, you know, we welcome those challenges. But I think you have to be really, really good at what you're supposed to be before you start branching off and doing those things. And I think we reached a point where we were seen as, you know, the experts in what we did. In fact, you know, we just launched something, again, very, very unique. You know, strategic plans are strategic plans, and marketing plans are marketing plans, and business plans are business plans. And, you know, we've all done our share of all those. But, you know, through our board leadership, our board said, you know what, you should really look at how this destination develops in the right way. So why don't you conduct a destination development study, a destination development plan. You know, that is an amazing, amazing project. We've just finished the first phase, and it's where you actually go out and you survey all of the incredible assets that you have for us in our county, and it's a big county, and decide how you inform future development, because we've seen development go horribly bad in other parts of the country, and you learn from others' mistakes, and you decide, you know, how many 5-star hotels do we actually need in Hillsborough County? How many convocation centers? How many conference centers? How many indoor sports facilities and outdoor sports facilities? And you inform future development. And, you know, shame on then a community if it doesn't follow the blueprint, but there's a blueprint for development. And you can say, you know what? That was a bad idea. And we told you that was a bad idea from the beginning. Now you chose to do what you wanted to do, but that's why you're not being very successful right now, because we did all the work for you leading up to what your investment could be. So again, it's out of the box thinking, it's stretching beyond, you know, that tourism space. And I know there are differences of opinion from my colleagues in different parts of the country. You know, they want to stick to what they want to stick. And that's great. I always say what works in Tampa may not work in your city, may not work in your destination. We're just giving you food for thought. We want to be thought provoking. We want to do what works for us.
Well, and I love the direction that you guys have been going, because you and I are simpatico on this one. This is so much more than destination marketing. It really is about leading a community forward. It's community development. It's everything that goes into the fabric of our communities. And you have been doing just amazing work over the past decade. But it's time for your bonus round question. We're going to move into dangerous territory here, Santiago, because typically my guests tell me what they'd like to talk about in the bonus round question, and we build a question around that. You have said, just let it fly. Just ask me anything. Are you sure you want to go down this path? Because here's where I'm going.
Go with it, Bill. Let's see where it goes.
Santiago, you have got the best hair in the destination leadership space in this nation. And this is coming from somebody who's follically challenged. I had great hair when I was 20. I don't anymore. And I look at you and thank you for sending me the headshot that you did earlier today to put on the website when we announce this podcast. But it's a great shot, and you've got just great hair. Now, here's the deal. A lot of people still have great hair, but they choose to cut it because we are corporate. We are supposed to be, and I'm talking about guys. I'm not talking about girls. We're supposed to be professional. We're supposed to be this or that. And I know that, you know, long hair was a challenge in the 60s, but today it shouldn't be. And yet you're like the only guy whose hair is on his shoulders. Tell me how that works for you and how that works for your brand, and how you get away with it because nobody else is doing it.
Well, I don't know about getting away with anything, right? My team tells me that my brand is my brand. And my brand over the last decade has been the hair and the cowboy boots,
right,
and the smile. And I can tell you they're all genuine, but not probably for the reasons people think. So the hair. Let's talk about the hair. First, I owe my mother and father great genes because they both had great hair.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that the reason why my hair grows long is because I think sitting in a chair to get your hair cut is the biggest waste of time. So I'm glad my hair guy has lots of customers, because my once a year would not help him much. So I can tell you that for me, it's a waste of time.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why the hair is always longer than it probably should be. But now it's kind of become your thing. So I let it go. And every time I cut it, I get a 50%, why'd you cut it? And a 50%, you should have cut it. So, you know, I guess I'm like national politics, right? 50% one way, 50% a different way,
right,
about the hair. So that's the hair. The boots, I'm a really short guy. And the only way I can get some lift is by wearing cowboy boots with a heel. So next time you see the boots, there's another reason. And I think they're comfortable as heck, right? I'd rather wear boots than sneakers. So the boots and the hair. And, you know, I can remember that some people maybe thought that the hair was not very CEO-ish. In my humble opinion, hair does not make a CEO.
Right.
It's a cumulative body of work. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you treat people. You know, the hair has not been an issue for me. And like I said, I don't know if I'm getting away with anything, but the mayor seems to love my hair and the people in Tampa seem to love my hair. And as long as my people seem to love my hair, I'm okay with the hair. But it's funny because it came out of me not liking to sit in a barber's chair for 30 to 45 minutes.
And if I still had hair, I'd be with you, because I totally agree. That's why I think I'm so fascinated. It's like, damn it, why don't I have hair anymore? I want to do that.
There's a funny story that my wife would certainly support at our home. And that's you know, what I've always said, when it starts falling out in clumps, I'm calling it a day. Make me a tuna fish sandwich, honey, because I'm coming home to read the paper and I'm done. So there's even a funny story about when it starts to fall out. That'll be my time to call it a day.
I hear that. And even though mine is falling out, I'm not done yet. So Santiago, hey, listen, thank you. We cannot wait to experience what you've got planned for us in July at the annual convention of Destinations International in Tampa Bay. Thank you for coming on the show. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
You bet. And that's it for this edition of DMOU. Past episodes of DMOU are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most podcast platforms. Subscribe on your preferred platform, and you'll get notified the minute a new episode drops. Thanks again to this episode's sponsor, our friends at Fired Up Culture. There may be no more challenging time than right now to lead in today's environment, and building a strong, cohesive team is hard to do. At Fired Up Culture, their tools, coaching, and expertise empower DMO leaders to harness the power of culture to lead their organizations forward. Learn more at firedupculture.com and check out the testimonials from many of your peers. DMOPros.com is where you're going to find more on our services to the DMO industry, plus links to our book, Destination Leadership, the Z Newsletter, our position papers on board diversity and the future of community marketing, as well as links to earlier episodes of DMOU and the biggest DMO job board on the planet. That's DMOPros.com. And executive producer of DMOU, Terry White. And this is a production of DMO Pros. I'm your host, Bill Geist. Until next time.